Mark chapter 6. We've gone as far as we can in Mark after this. Verse 53, Mark 6. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. When they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him, ran through the whole surrounding region, and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. Wherever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made well. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we really fail to grasp the wonder of your power. Lord, that you did all these things. And in spite of the higher critical methods of interpreting Scripture, which have become popular in the last century, to deny these things of you, Lord, we know that the evidence is so abundant that, as John says in his gospel, even the whole world could not contain the books if all were written of what you did. So, Lord, we believe them. We know them to be true. And, Lord, why would it not be true? Because you are the living God, and you have all power and can do all things. Now, Lord, it comes to us with that knowledge to respond to you and receive you as we should. So I pray we would, Lord, by your grace, in Jesus' name, amen. Since 2014, 49 people have died doing this, not preaching. But this is something that was not a problem until recently. 49 people have died taking selfies. Since 2014, 49 people have died taking selfies. For some reason, 40% of these deaths were in India. I don't know why. The number one reason for people dying taking selfies is they fell from a high place. Like I mentioned earlier, people climb up right high and take a selfie. Drowning was the second, followed by encounters with trains. You really can't make this up. Men are far more likely to die taking selfies than women, which is no pride to us men. 36 of the 49 deaths are attributed to males. 64% of those who died taking selfies between the ages of 17 and 23. The oldest was 32, the youngest 14. Now, how do you fix this selfie problem? 49 people died. Suppose we want to solve this selfie death problem. Safer cameras? Make cameras that will grab you when you're about to fall or drown or be hit by a train. More laws? Do not take selfies in hazardous regions. If we made a law like that and publicized it, there would be twice as many deaths. Because people would say, I wonder what's so good about doing that. More warnings? Do cameras have to come with a warning? Do not take a selfie at a high place. Ban cameras in India? Adult supervision for these age groups between 17 and 23, where most of this happens. Don't get a 32-year-old, though, because there's somebody died 32 doing it, too. The biggest problem with selfies is not the selfie. It's the self who is taking the selfie. And if you want to fix the selfie problem, fix the self problem. Because what kind of person really gets hit by a train taking a selfie? You don't get near a train without the selfie. So if you fix the self, you lower the danger of dying by taking a selfie. This is what the gospel does with sin. The root disease of the human soul is sin. That is the basic thing. If you fix that, you have fixed not just the man or the woman or the child, you have fixed society. Because so many things are going on today because the disease of sin has not been fixed. When I went down to Charleston not too long ago, last year sometime, and I was going down for be with somebody's surgery, and it started raining in Charleston, and I was in the old car, not that one. And I turned on the windshield wipers. If I had taken black tar and thrown it over the windshield, I would have probably been able to see about the same amount. For some reason, it started blurring the whole windshield. I was trying to find my way. Cars were honking at me. I couldn't see where I was going, which is a bad way to be on the interstate or anywhere. And that little thing of that little bit of rain, my windshield wipers failed the test, and that became a core problem. Sin brings a core problem to us that alienates us from God. And if we're made for God, which we are, the Bible says that when we fall from God, which we did, that we are in death and darkness and a lot of other descriptions. We have become in danger of the greatest kind. If we remove sin, we're able to walk in the light. The windshield clears, the light comes on, our eyes are able to see. We do not walk in darkness, but we walk in light. That's what the Bible declares to us and we experience. Those living in sin are said to be foolish. Those living in the light are said to be wise. So if you fix the person, you fix society. You stop a lot of the damage of society. The problem is that the malady of sin is beyond the scope of human ability to fix. What do you do to stop people from doing bad things? Laws won't do it. Laws will have a tendency to slow it down sometimes. Sometimes it has a tendency to speed it up. We cannot, by telling people to go to a class, get over it. The world thinks there's so many different ways to stop these things. You can't be on the phone anymore. If you get on the phone with your cell phone provider, your mobile phone provider, you can't get off the phone without them telling you, take the pledge. Do not text and drive. And so by doing that, by making that law, all texting while driving just shrieked to a halt, right? Teenagers never text anymore while they're driving. Anytime I see a car, and sitting here, I'll be behind a car, we'll see it kind of drift off the road and come back on and drift off and come back on. Cindy will say, I bet they're texting. And we look when we go by to see if they are. Laws won't do it. People think that we can fix the hardest problems. You know, men talk so optimistically about humanistic ways of fixing things. But it can't be done. Jesus shows us that. We've seen a lot of miracles in Mark, because Mark's about what Jesus did more than what he taught, but he's also got his teaching in there. But Jesus performed many miracles, and his miracles of healing did two things. They, in the immediate sense, the Lord in compassion healed the sick and relieved them of that sickness or that disease or that malady, whatever they had, and they were free of it by his compassion. The other thing he did, which is what I want to focus on today, is that he showed his power to heal the disease of sin by healing the disease of the body. When we see someone who can do that, then we can look to him to do the greater thing. Sin in the Bible, and this is confusing to some people, because we hear that sin and sickness are coupled in the Bible in many instances. Sin is likened to physical ailments. Look at Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah starts, the Lord has a case against Judah. And here's what he says, verse 2 of Isaiah 1. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. You see, rebellion is a manifestation of sin. The ox knows its owner, the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward. Why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. Notice how it's described. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. All that description there of the body, that Israel has a sickness, that they have wounds that have not been healed. There's no soundness in their body. All of those physical descriptions are connected to what we just saw. Verse 4, alas, sinful nation. So sin is likened to physical sickness. Now if you flip over to Isaiah 53, that figure continues, but notice what it says. Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So it's still that figure of a sickness. Some people take that to say God's going to heal all our sicknesses. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But this is still about sin. And he has taken upon him our transgressions, verse 5. Our iniquities, verse 5. The healing is of our soul. As he says, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who heals us in our bodies. Now, he showed his power to do that by healing in the Gospels the bodies of people. And if you look back at Mark 2, verse 10, just review what we saw there. Jesus, when he healed the man who was let down through the ceiling, this principle he gave. When they said, you know, why are you forgiving this man his sins? Jesus said, but that you may know, verse 10 of Mark 2, that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go your way to your house. To show that he has power to forgive sins, he healed the man in body. Now this is what we see in the Bible. And Jesus went about doing that, and people ran to him. Now you'll see in our text, back to Mark 6, that people sought Jesus, and we have seen this over and over. Verse 53, When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him. Now, this is a big thing. Today, a person can be recognized by being on a television show. None of that then. He was going about doing these wondrous miracles, and people recognized him, and they began to seek him. The Bible is explicit telling us we should seek Jesus. 1 Chronicles 16:11, seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face forevermore. 1 Chronicles 22:19, now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Isaiah 55:6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. However, men do not seek the Lord. Romans chapter 3, verse 11, part of the Romans road. We note these verses, and it says there that there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. Our disease of sin is so bad, we don't even seek the cure for it. Because in most cases, in all cases apart from the Holy Spirit, we don't even know we're sick. John chapter 5, verse 40. Jesus says this, you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Would not seek the Lord for life. Let's seek the Lord for bodily things. People sought Jesus to heal them. And you'll find that today. Person gets sick, oh, they want Jesus. I saw it in the prison when I was preaching to prison. People get locked up, oh, I really need Jesus now. But it's temporary in a lot of cases. Not always. People get locked up, they get an attitude adjustment, and they come to the Lord. I saw that too. But people seek Jesus for things without seeking Jesus for who he is, for life. Your child, you got children or grandchildren, they come to you and they say, I just want you to know, I just mowed the lawn, I just cleaned up my room, I just straightened up in the kitchen, straightened up in the garage. What are you waiting for? What do you want? What are you after? I mean, maybe you have a child that just does that naturally. But, you know, a lot of times if I'd have ever done that, my mom and dad would have said, okay, what do you want? People like to use God. And the Lord seeks to draw attention to himself by his miracles, but it's the will of God that we would want Jesus after that. And so in verse 55, back in Mark, we see that people ran, and they ran to Jesus and brought to Jesus all kinds of sick people. And all that is proper. Nothing wrong with that. And we find that Jesus healed the people, verse 56. Whenever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces, begged him that they might just touch the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made well. Jesus, in compassion, responded. Jesus is the unique healer. People felt sick. You know, sickness is a felt need. I could start over here and go all the way over here. And most of you, maybe our youngest here wouldn't, there's something wrong with you, isn't there? You've got something that if Jesus came in here today and said, what do you need fixed? You'd have something to say. Who would say, well, I can't think of anything. I'd go out of this place without an insulin pump. My back hurts in the morning when I get out of bed. That'd be gone. And I would go outside and I would throw my hair out of my eyes. I mean, fix the whole deal. I would have to hold my pants up too, because we all have something, and that is the hook that we see in Jesus, that there is this hook, and sickness is a felt need. Dwight Stone used to say, go around Hickory, Newton, Conover area, and he would bring up the subject of death to people, and that people wanted to hear about. They wanted to hear how to overcome death, and that was the hook. Jesus had a hook here on something that they felt, and that was bodily sickness. Alienation from God is not a naturally felt need. People don't feel a certain way when they're alienated from God. They might feel great. But sickness of the body is a felt need. And the people went to great lengths here for this healing. They laid the sick in places where Jesus would see them, in the marketplaces. They begged Jesus to heal them. They were invested. They wanted it. They wanted it with all their heart. They wanted it to the point of begging. And we're told that as many as touched him, just the hem of his garment, were made well. Now the issue becomes, is that all you wanted? If you pray and Jesus answers your prayer and you're done with that trial, is that all you wanted? This is what was the issue in the Bible, that Jesus doing miracles and healing, that was not it. That was not the end of it. It was, what do you want now? Do you want the next greater thing? Most people are satisfied with just the things. Later on, Jesus would be turned on by the multitudes. They would say, crucify. In one case, he healed 10 lepers, and only one came back to thank him. And remember Jesus' exhortation in John 5, verse 14. And he heals the paralytic. And he sees him afterward, verse 14 says, of John 5. Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, and look what he said. He's been healed. He's got over his paralysis. He's been raised from his bed of sickness. And Jesus said, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. See, the paralysis wasn't the worst thing. Sickness in body wasn't the worst thing. The worst thing was not being healed from the disease of sin. Sin no more, he says. That's an exhortation to forsake sin, to be healed of sin. Now, I think it's important we understand what sickness and healing are as they're presented in Scripture. Sickness, as Jesus heals it, that was the hook. There was compassion, yes, to heal the person who was sick. But that was the hook to get people to place their faith in Christ. So that you know that if he heals miraculously the body, he can heal the worst problem, and that is the soul that's alienated from God. The fall is the root cause of bodily sickness. The reason we are sick is because we fell into sin. That's not to say that sickness is a result of personal sin. It doesn't mean if you have diabetes or if you have some other disease that you sinned and got it. Remember Jesus said of the man born blind, this man did not sin nor his parents, but this is for the glory of God. That comes, though, from the fact that we have fallen into sin. We died when we sinned, just like God said we would, and decay of body is the result. Our bodies decay. If you ever look back at old pictures, can you tell the difference between how you look then, how you look now? We age. And part of the aging process is to be sick. And when we're sick, we want to be made well. We want to do what we can to be done with it. And many today cheapen the gospel. Basically, they stay on the hook rather than what we're being hooked to believe in. Because people realize they can get a lot of attention, a lot of money, if they will just talk about the physical aspects of what Jesus did. Now, there's some things to consider about that. Jesus healing in the Gospels, many take to believe that he wants to heal in the same way today. Now, that is clearly not the case, because we don't see healings today like we saw then. But there's the assumption that if Jesus healed in the Gospels, well, he wants to heal us today. And they see faith as bringing that healing, faith healing. And they assume that if we have faith today, we will be healed. So many people talk about have faith and be healed. They see gifts of healing and believe all the gifts are still in operation today, that people have the gifts of healing. We don't see that either. Not in the real world. They reason that if sin caused sickness, then forgiveness will remove the sickness. So if sin brought on the decay of the body, when God forgives us, surely we don't have to deal with sickness anymore. So you end up with name it, claim it, send your money in as seed faith, come to a healing service, touch this prayer cloth, all these wacky things. Because what people are doing is they see the hook in the Gospels, and they try to carry the hook into the present day, saying that Jesus wants to heal today just like he did then. And it's just not so. If people just want to be healed of the disease, they're not seeking reconciliation with God, and really they're abject failures at healing. You know, if someone had the gift of healing, you know what they could do? They could heal. And the power was so great. Remember, those who could heal also could raise from the dead. They'd go into it. And even Peter's shadow falling across someone for a while healed. And it was these apostles doing miraculous things. They had these gifts of healing, these sign gifts. And they were successful at it. And when Jesus went to a place, he was successful at it. He healed without any issue whatsoever. There was never an issue with him that he could not heal. And when the disciples later on, after the Spirit came upon them, they always healed when they made an effort to do so. But these today who claim to have gifts of healing are abject failures at it. Benny Hinn has a heart condition. Yet he says he can heal all kinds of things. All these people die. They decay. But they never say it that way. They say, oh, we've got the power to heal. What if you went by a mechanic's shop? The car's messed up, and there's a sign at the shop that says, we have never fixed one car in the history of this business. Do you just roll all in there? You go to a restaurant, it says, not one good meal served here ever. Today, there are people who claim power with God, power to heal. They've not healed one sickness. They've not done one thing. And people who focus upon them, all they're doing is stopping at the hook without getting to Christ. And they hold these people in bondage. Physical healing was primarily intended to present to those with the disease of sin a way out of it. And the hook was to show the power of Jesus to heal the body and then to heal the soul because of that same power. It was a divine power. And that was why the apostles healed, to point to Jesus. And God used the felt need of sickness to describe this unfelt need for forgiveness and to make the connection and to draw them into faith in him and repentance and healing of the soul. So understand a few things about healing and sickness that Jesus presents here in the Gospels. Healing is not in the atonement the same as forgiveness of sin. One question is healing in the atonement? This is a theological question. When we sin, we ask God to forgive us. And the Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There are some people who believe that in the same way that forgiveness of sin is in the atonement, that is our reconciliation with God, so is sickness. So if we are sick, we are actually sinning. And that all sickness is a result of sin. That's not true. We can prove it a lot of ways. But it's not true, and it's not presented in the Scripture that way. The gift of healing, now there's some people who differ in this. And not just, I'm not talking about charismatics and Pentecostals, but I mean on the evangelical side, or the side we would more associate with. But I don't believe the gift of healing is in operation today. Because if it was, I believe it would be done like it was then. You'd go in and you'd heal some people. I don't ever see that happening. If you pray and someone's healed, that's God healing to me. God does not have the gift of healing. You understand what I'm saying? No, a gift is something someone gives you. God never has that gift given to him. God has the healing power in and of himself. God can heal and does miracles today whenever he wants to. But for someone to say they have the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, all of those things, they're saying that God has given them that ability to heal, and if they can't heal, they don't have the gift. And I don't see people healing today. And they talk about faith. Faith is not some independent power. Oh, I'm going to believe that when I get home today, and we go to the table, I don't know what my wife's made yet for lunch, but I believe with all my heart, I'm mustering up the faith that we will have Chinese chicken morsels for lunch. I have faith in it. Do you believe? You see. And she's already shaking her head over there, ruining my faith. You see, faith doesn't do anything if it's not based upon what God wants to do. Faith is powerful in that it relies on what God has expressed in his will to do. And God has not expressed in his will that he is going to heal our sicknesses. Ultimately, he has. And if we're ever healed, it's of him. God heals all our diseases. It's of him and to his credit and glory. But God sends sickness of body many times to mature us. That's what James says. And Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and Timothy had a stomach problem. The message of the gospel is that Christ heals us of sin, and he shows us that by healing us in body in the gospels. And then when Jesus heals us of sin, it works every time. He has the power. Let me ask you, are you sick that way? Are you sick in that way? Because the hook here is this. I feel my bodily sickness, but if I am not forgiven of my sin, if I have not confessed and repented of my sin, if I have not been made a new person by a regeneration, been born again, then I am sick in sin. And are you sick that way? Because if you are, this is the way that it's fixed. And remember, it's not a felt need. Well, I don't feel that bad. Well, you feel convicted when you understand you're sick with sin. But as far as a bodily thing, you might feel anything. But the thing is, people talk about, well, I don't want to feel bad. I want people to make me feel bad that I'm not forgiven. Well, listen, the whole point of the gospel is to make you feel great after you're forgiven, because here's the good news, you can be forgiven. You go to a doctor and you're sick, and you say, doctor, can you do something about it? And often he can. Sometimes he can't. You go to Jesus, he can fix it every time. Your soul. I learned when I was growing up, and I carry the lesson to this day, and it's true in most cases of people. There was nothing on earth that I faced that my mom could not make better. There was nothing that I, no fear, no distress, no sickness. There was nothing that my mom could not make better. There's no sin, disease that Jesus can't heal. And he's shown us that by healing the body. If you're sick in alienation from God and you desire to be God's child, there is nothing that Jesus can't heal. There's no sin that he cannot forgive. There is no person that he cannot redeem. His healing power in the body shows us his healing power of the soul. Let's pray. Now the Bible says if you want Jesus to heal your soul, you call upon him. If you call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. So do that if in your heart you know you're not healed of your alienation from God. Lord Jesus, your power is infinite. You are all powerful. And Lord, what good would it do us if all you did was heal our bodies? Eventually we all die. But Lord, if you give us our soul, what will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Lord, may we have from you. And you alone, Lord, can do it. This healing of soul. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.